Hey,
what up, Vince?
At it again. What is good, Wolf?
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. The days are daying. The weeks are weeking. The year's almost over already, and I'm not looking forward to that. But you know, this has been a wild year, so I'm really happy that it's about to wrap up.
It's been a wild year for sure. I'm really excited about our anniversary.
Our anniversary that has passed.
My birthday passed too, and I'm still accepting gifts. So what you trying to say?
All right. Well, you know, I mean, for the...
what are you
okay.
trying to say?
Valid point.
But all right.
All that to say is that our anniversary, as we are recording this, has passed. But you know, 7 years. Shout out to us. It's been a long road, different places, different faces, but we are still here, dog. So
still accepting gifts.
Still accepting gifts in the form of compliments, thumbs ups, high fives, or coins.
I want money.
Or
for
coins.
Me. My birthday, I want monetary gains, okay? Good I don't job. Want BBL gains, but monetary gains. Feel me?
Speaking of, what did you end up doing for La Birthday? Well done.
Hold on, wait, I gotta get it out. So I called my mom before I went to work, and I was like, oh yo, I'm about to go to the casino. I'm about to hit it up. She's like, don't go to the casino by yourself, bro. You're not gonna be able to do anything by yourself there. You better be careful. So you know, she did that whole Caribbean hocus pocus on me before I even got there. You know, when you're like, oh, I had a dream last night. Anyway, I got off at like 7. I went out to dinner. I just had a few drinks, did a little hookah, had some ribs at a Jamaican spa. It was real fun. Then I was like, you know what? I'm feeling real loose off of these drinks. Let me go to the casino.
Ow.
So I disobeyed my mother's hocus pocus warnings.
Ignore her dream.
And I navigated myself to the casino. And I was like, I'm not gonna spend too much. I'm just feeling a little happy. So I was like, all right, let me just put this $100 bill in the...
Oh, so you were working with a buck. That was just $100. That was it.
I put the $100 bill in there. It was going good for a minute. I was getting my highs, hit a few lows. Then I got a few highs again. Then I got a real low again. And I ended up, at the end of the night, winning $0.04 to take home with my little voucher coupon. So
0.04? As in 4 pennies.
So, to answer your question, yes, the hocus pocus worked. I will not reveal what I will be doing to anyone again on my birthday, especially my mom. I could have won $1 million that night on my birthday, but guess what she said? You can't do anything by yourself, bro. I should have just took that and just Yikes. Took my happy ass home. But it's okay. I enjoyed myself. It was fun. I went to the Hard Rock Cafe. It was just fun. Had a good time. They had a water show. I lost all my money, but it is what it is. I think the thing with casinos is that people go in there anticipating to win.
Yeah.
I was just going there for a good time. If I win, I win. If I don't, I don't.
Did they have good wings at least?
I didn't eat there. I went to a Jamaican restaurant.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. I need to feel good.
You know, the casino, even though you lose out, they got some bomb ass wings.
They got some pretty good drinks too, if you talk to the waitresses real nice.
Okay, well, that's a nice takeaway.
That's the one thing I won't do is go to the high rollers room, because you need at least 15K just to walk in. So I know Yikes. I don't got that much.
I mean, if you want my 4 cents on the matter, I don't think that would have been a great idea, you know?
I like how you did that.
Anyway. Sophisticated ignorance.
You slid it right in, didn't you?
Nope, don't do that.
Skirt, skirt.
Queen of the block.
I am evolving, okay?
All right. Here we go again. Welcome, everyone, to Sophisticated Ignorance. I am big cheesy. Wowza. Sorry, that should have not made me laugh the way it did, but alas, here we are. Yes.
I am so sorry, friends. I'm so sorry, friends. I love that. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. This is Vixen J, and as always, my partner here.
Big VZ. No, it's your girl, R to the OV. I love that Big VZ. It's giving, like, Jeezy, but cheesy. And that's why I laugh. VZ, cheesy, Vixie. It's giving all that. But your girl, R to the OV here. Welcome, guys, to another show. We're here just to entertain you with our shenanigans. For sure.
And our other things. Yes. So, this week, this topic is not near and dear to my heart, but boy, do I have thoughts. Oh, baby. But before we get into that, let me bless somebody real quick with some advice. Rove, what do you got for me this week?
All right. We got a little questionnaire for you.
Advice from Vix. Advice from Vix.
Here's the question. Is this the norm now for dating? $1,000 a month. Shoot, they made more than I did at the casino.
All right. Well.
I just had a conversation with a girl I went to high school with. Just for detail, she's a black woman. I am a black male.
I don't like the way this is starting, but yeah, let's continue. We're already down the rabbit hole. Let's keep hopping.
My. She's overweight. Space.
What does that have to do with anything? But carry on.
Space, cute face, and has two daughters. She told me during a conversation we just had 15 minutes ago that in a relationship, if she is cooking a couple times a week, being intimate, etc., for her boyfriend that she does not live with, but has him come over 3 to 4 times a week, she expects him to give her $1,000 minimum per month to help with her bills. Is this the norm now in dating, or is this a quote unquote cultural dating norm, or what? I'm 36 and lost at this point. I feel out of the loop in today's dating world. Update, all caps, this is not someone I am dating or pursuing. Any advice, Vix?
Well, sir. Tyrone. this boggles the mind. I mean, there's so many flags in this letter. Man, it's going to need a bunch of auto-correcting. So, okay, this is a person from high school. You had to express the fact that she was quote-unquote overweight.
I didn't like that.
Cute face, though, has two daughters. I don't understand why that context had to come into it, but maybe that was just your way of painting a picture of this girl.
Are you overweight, Tyrone? Because when you point one finger, 3 points back. But go ahead.
That's neither here nor there. So Tyrone's main issue is that he is boggled by this girl. Let's call her Diane. Tyrone is boggled by Diane's expectations of dating as it relates to the monetary compensation. So if she's like, yo, if I'm giving girlfriend, if I'm giving I'm Mrs. Mister, then, you know what I'm saying? You got to hit me up with a band. And that is how dating goes. I could tell Tyrone that you are out of the dating loop because, I mean, this is not a typical thing that happens. I mean, everyone is entitled to their standards. Just because Diane is expecting that for her services or for her time, attention, and all these things, that should equate to $1,000. Not every person thinks like this. I think in general, there's an expectation that if you are giving your attention and time and energy to someone, that there has to be something in return. I do agree that that should be a norm, or that is a standard. Doesn't have to be $1,000. Everyone has a price, or everyone has a number for that. Some people are like, yo, you gotta pay all my bills, or the bills could equate to $1,000. The bills could be for her kids. Who knows? Whatever. I mean, this is not about Diane. This is clearly about you, Tyrone. Mm-hmm. And I think outside of what Diane's opinions are and how she looks and how much kids she has, I think she is absolutely entitled to her standards. So for you, as it relates to dating now in today's world, yes, people do have standards that are either monetary or otherwise. And that's something that your 36-year-old self really has to get used to. Not everyone is just ready for, let's just go to McDonald's and walk in the park and that should be enough. You know, people want more. People want substance. People want some level of effort. And sorry, Tyrone, even though this is someone that you're not dating or pursuing, that doesn't mean you might be all that to her either. So really, you got to look at the mirror. You got to look at the man in the mirror, as MJ says, and really figure out what is it about you as it relates to the dating scene that is not getting the recollected. At the end of the day, you probably don't have a G to spend on someone like a Diane, but there's going to be someone out there that might require either something similar or less. And if you can't deliver and you want to be available into the dating pool, then it takes some to get some, more ways than one. And that's my advice. So
great advice. Sorry, I think Tyrone. You gave great advice. And I think Diane also gave him great advice. She was just putting him up on game, especially if he hasn't been dating. This, unfortunately, is dating culture now. Yeah. Unfortunately.
It's not everyone, but once again, I think outside of whatever amount you're asking for, I think in general, people want that level of reciprocation where it's like, hey, if I'm going to do all these things for you, I need something in return. As I said, some people ask for money, some people ask for time and attention, some people ask for a label, but it's not just, I'm just going to show up and eat all your kids' fruit snacks and watch TV and play video games. And as a woman that I'm interested in, or a partner I'm interested in, or nah, just sit there and don't nag me. Cool. Exactly. I think that's a great compromise. Yeah, dope. That's not what we're doing these days. So Tyrone, get a clue. But you also just got to get out there a little bit more. And I'm sorry, some people are going to require more than just I showed up. So
It's terrible because we usually are the ones calling Tyrone to help us out, and he can't even help himself out.
The twist has been plotted. Yes, indeed. Well, good luck, Tyrone, in all of your endeavors. Disclaimer, the person's name is not Tyrone, and no, the person's name is not Diane. I just make up names because it's easier than saying hims and hers. So, yeah. That's all I got for you all this week in the sense of advice. If y'all need advice from Vix or advice from Vix, please DM us on IG at SI Podcast or email us at SOPHIGpodcast@gmail.com and I will help you with your problems. And yeah, that's what I do now. I'm that guy. So
okay. You're welcome. All right. Easy.
I do what I can.
Love to hear it.
But you know the people that I can't help.
Who can't you help?
I can't help these passport bros. I cannot help them. That's the people I can't give advice to. That's today's topic. We are talking about the brothers of passports. We are talking about the men's that want to catch flights, to catch women, and to catch also feelings. And catch feelings.
Possibly or catch up. STDs too.
I mean, there's many things that they could catch.
Whatever you could catch.
No judgments here. We're not saying, you know, people in other countries.
Possible judgment from Rove.
I mean, big judgment from Rove. Judge Rove. Gavel. Anyway, but yes, today we're talking about password bros. I mean, you know, if you've been on the internet, you've heard about them, you've seen them in action. You've seen them catching their spirit flights to another country and spirit indulging flight. In the local cuisine. And by cuisine, I mean the people. So, you know, we're just going to dive into the whole trend. Why is it happening? The type of people it's happening to, the type of people that are involved in it, and really just get deeper into this whole trend, fad, question mark, and all these things. It's just, it's a wild world out there, kids. It's a wild world. Yeah, and you know, when it comes, you know, you've probably seen a couple of videos, and it's very much typically the black guy or some other guy that is all hooked up on a girl from either Indonesia or Vietnam or Colombia. And it's always the same trope. The guy looks big cheesy and the girl is like very uncomfortable. Like, oh my gosh, why are you sticking a camera in my face for proof of life? It's just very dutty. You know, these type of passport bros, quote unquote, are these guys who have chosen to seek out foreign women, typically from other countries, for relationships. That's really what it is. They can't find the butter in the barn, so they have to go to another town and find butter somewhere else to churn. And I don't know why I brought up butter. Maybe I'm hungry. Doesn't matter. The point being is, it's just a very, it's a very wild trend that's happening or practice. And
it's gaining a lot of momentum, which is alarming. Because it's giving, you don't want to stay at home. You just want to go across so you can get something easier or attainable.
I don't think, to your point, I don't think it's necessarily about not wanting to stay home. I think it's a mix. It's either these men feel like, oh, I've tried all the options here, quote unquote, and nothing's been giving. Or it's like, oh, all right, based off what I've seen on the internet and based off of what my boys or friends have told me, you know, people of my, because it's very typically race related. It's like, oh, girls of my race, like, for example, black guy talking about black women, is like, oh, black women would be mad difficult and unmanageable. So you know what? I'm going to go to Colombia and deal with these Colombian chicks because they know what time it is. They're, you know, submissive or whatever the case may be, and they're right for me. They
don't Colombia?
Or wherever they go. I don't know the locations, but, I mean, it's typically someone in a quote-unquote third world country. I don't like that term, but it's typically
a person they seek
in another country where they feel, these bros feel, like, oh, I could possibly find someone for sex or companionship, and I don't have to go through the hassles of them having standards, quote-unquote, or whatever the case would be, whatever their mentality thinks. That's typically how they think.
And it's probably wrong, because if you go 1,000%. To a Latin American country and you go to a woman who has like straight patriarchal brought up seeness, she would chew you down to treads. You know, of course, on the other hand, you know, a lot of passport boys want to go looking for love. A lot of these foreign women are just looking for, you know, papers. So here we are with that scenario. So
It's a classic tale of man can't meet girl where he lives. So man catches flight, then man meets girl overseas, and then man falls in love, and then girl wants card. And then, you know, it's just a classic tale as old as time, I'm sure. But yeah, that's what they feel is success when it comes to relationships. And I don't know. But yeah, let's run through some of the common criticisms that some of these guys go through. So, yeah, Rove, let us know what those are.
Yeah, so with passport bros. With passport bros, some common criticisms include, you know, being accused of having sex tourism, which is something that has been on the rise, especially with trafficking and different types of, you know, molestations and bringing girls along. So that's also a hindrance with passport bros, because they can use that as a guise and they can do something with a lot of sex trafficking into the U.S. Also, a lot of passport bros are disrespecting other cultures and even promoting gentrification in said countries that they land in. It's also claimed that these men go abroad for better dating options simply because they're unable to compete, big word, with men in their home countries. So looking into that, they take whatever American dollars that they have and go to other countries where the American dollar is worth more so they can seem as though they have more. But that's kind of counterintuitive because when they do get to the countries and they do find a girlfriend or whatever, the girlfriend wants more than what they can provide. And usually whatever savings that they have to quote unquote stretch out goes away in a couple of months. And then they say, oh, I'm broke. I don't have this. Or I can't get you this visa. Or I can't bring you over. Or I can't help your family build a new house in Thailand. There's so many different factors that play along with the passport bros. But because they're not able to, I guess, peacock themselves in their home countries, they go to other countries to show off what they can and can't do.
And it's very temporary too. Like, you know, it's not even a matter. They go there, they flaunt, because obviously what, $1,000 here is probably much more because of conversion rates. So they go to these countries. Sometimes they're quote unquote living, looking for love. Other times they just want to go on a fuck fest. Let's just be real. And on top of that, some of these countries have, some of these countries, when it comes to the age of consent, right, it's much younger than it is in the States. So that's also a dutty angle to it, because it's like, oh, I could find these 16-year-olds, you know, that are legal.
I think it's
here.
As young as 13.
Well, honest, either way, these dutty older men over here are just like, yo, I could catch a whole bunch of honeys over here in X country and, you know what I'm saying, be the king there, because $1,000, as I said, in there where they are, i.e. the United States, is much more there. So I'm big boss, and you see the videos of them walking down the street and they're like, yeah, I'm in this country. And then they have a few girls on their arm, however they obtain them. And it's just a false advertising. You know, it's false advertising in that they're not truly there to, if they happen to find someone there, cool, but that's not the total goal. Like, for example, in Dominican Republic, there's prostitution that happens there, which is fine, but most men go down there thinking, okay, yeah, I'm gonna go down to DR, find some girls, pay for them, have a great time. And it's typically the dusty, musty, old, just someone you would never look at twice type of men doing this shit, because once again, as you were saying, they feel like they're in competition.
Ugly.
Yeah, I mean, big ugg, no shoes.
Ugly,
you know what I'm saying? And it's just, you know, well, ugly, unattractive, but either way, because it's not even just about their looks, it's also about their mentality, right? They bash women
ugly men.
Let's just call it, okay, majority of these, I'm going to talk about black people because that's majority of those clips I've seen, but these black men bash black women here because of the Western standards of dating are so thin, because how dare they have standards? Oh, how dare you want more from me? Let me go over to the East Side where these girls have no standards and who don't care. But plot twist, they actually do. But you can't understand that in their language because you don't speak it.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it comes down to. And it's just a sad, sad way of looking at things. And it's just like, you know, and this is why black women, you know, in the regards of how they relate to passport bros or how they interact with them, get so upset and they ignore, because it's like, look, if you want to take, basically the trash is taking themselves out. If you want to go overseas and find yourself a girl that probably doesn't understand you or anything like that, but they understand what you could provide for them and directly as it relates to just money and or access to the States, boy, bye. You've just lightened up the dating pool. Thank you so much. It's wild. It's nuts.
The thing is, for me, I don't really care, you know, if you want to find love, if you want to go overseas and do something to better yourself in your adult life. But like you said, it's them trying to bring down other people in the same breath and say, hey, my life is so much better because I am overseas looking for love and you're staying here and you can't find anyone and be single because you're a difficult black woman to deal with. So I choose not to deal with you. And I have a very good subservient woman who's going to be there for me without any questions. So that's my take on it. Like, if you're going to do it, just do your own thing. You know, there's a whole movement behind it as well, too. There's a whole philosophy of the brotherhood of passport bros. They have actual, like, mission statements. There's a whole website on this. And it really took me for a loop that this is an actual movement. It's giving very much a sub-manosphere type vibes for me. So...
Yeah, also look or see also incels and other things of that nature. The fact that I have a website is already nuts. I don't know who provided them with space on the internet. Squarespace should not be for everybody. But on top of that, I'm just going to read an excerpt from this Passport Bro site that I just find to be, and it really just gives more insight to how they think and how they move. So it says here, the Passport Bro mindset emerges from a range of concerns about modern Western dating and marriage culture. Among these concerns, one of the primary grievances is the perception that many Western women exhibit behaviors that are argumentative, confrontal, highly manipulative, and exhibits traits often associated with masculinity. Among the many traits they have started to display are abrasive conduct, combative attitudes, and overt emphasis on anti-male feminist philosophy and combative individualism to the detriment of traditional gender roles. These behaviors in the eyes of Passport Bros are seen as incompatible with harmonious relationships and are believed to contribute to the breakdown of connections between men and women in the Western dating scene. All that to say, these women know what the fuck they want, and how dare they, I'm gonna go to another country where they don't have their standards altogether. And you know, these women are acting too much like men, and I'm supposed to be the man, and I am not gay. You know, it's a rattling of bullshit, and it's sad. It's a very sad mentality to have. And it's wild because, you know, even just stepping outside of that, women would get passports because they want to see the world, right? It's like, oh, I'm getting my passport. I want to be out here and see
things. I want to take some pictures and explore.
Right. And these men are getting passports not to see the world, but they just want to get some foreign pussy because, oh, it doesn't give me as much problems.
And stupid enough, foreign women will probably give you worse problems. I'm just saying, as a foreigner myself. And the fact that they like to preach that foreign women do not give problems. Women in general, wherever you are, it doesn't matter what relationship you're in, you are going to have to deal with this discourse in your relationship. It may not come off right off the bat, but I bet you as soon as that money run out, y'all gonna start having relationship problems.
But, and I think another thing is that these Passport Bros are treating these foreign women like they're dumb. And the thing is, yeah, they're not dumb. They're not. You just can't understand what they're saying, right?
Not even that. They're smarter than you.
They're big smarter than you. Oh my gosh.
They got you to come to their country. Right. Come on.
You're the joke. They're not dumb at all. I think they treat them as such.
You are spending the money. You tricking out on them. You're investing all of this time and emotion and everything. And then you get upset whenever, you know, they decide that, hey, maybe you're not the one for me, or if you can't help me excel in life or give me that American dream, guess what? Snip, snip, they cut you off. Move on to the next one. And I have no problems with them doing that because, again, you go after what you want in life. That's your goal. That's anybody's goal. If you want to come to America, you're going to find a way. I bet you.
Word. And these dum-dums that fly over there are an easy ticket. So, I take advantage. They deserve
it. Well, with all that to say, you know that I am an avid pre-Passport Bro era fan of 90 Day Fiancé. And I think that was our prelude to a lot of things. And I watch all of them. The Other Way, Before the 90 Days, 90 Day Original. Anyone, I watch each and every one, and I've watched them from season one. So I know from the very first ones where it was just based on just a lot of the Latin countries, and they've expunged to more European and more Asian countries. Mm-hmm. But one couple in particular that I've watched recently was with Riley and Violet from TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. J- Just a little backstory. Riley is a 48-year-old military veteran, originally from Queens, New York, and he met Violet, 43, in Vietnam, a mother of two daughters, on a dating app. They've been speaking for a couple of years, and he decided to go to Vietnam to visit Violet and her family, to, you know, just pursue what their relationship would be like. In the subsequent episodes, you can see there was a clear disparity with the cultural beliefs there. Violet took Riley to a shop to try on some traditional Vietnamese clothes. And, you know, I guess jokingly, I don't know the culture in Vietnam, she was saying that he's big, he's black, and he's a little chubby. But she was speaking this in her native tongue. And then, you know, she's speaking this to the dress designer, but then she tells him, oh, I told her that you are ugly and fat, and laughing. Maybe that's just how they talk joke. Or they joke. You know, they're very, like, blunt like that. But Riley took offense to it and say, hey, I'm coming to your culture. Why would you call me black and big? I mean, he's both. It's not something that's untrue. And it wasn't in a negative derogatory thing, but he felt a way about it. And they got into an argument about that, but that's just from cultural standpoints as well, too, because he didn't understand the culture. Another thing that was brought up was at that same moment, she was in her phone outside of the dress shop. Apparently, she was talking to a guy without his shirt on video chat, and he saw from behind. And then she, like, quickly ended the phone call, according to Riley, 48-year-old man. And he asked her who was on the phone. And she said, it is not your business who I'm on the phone with. This is just my friend. You shouldn't be concerned about it. So he got upset and said, hey, we've been talking for 2+ years. And I don't know if they established if they were in a relationship or they were just dating long distantly. But he got very upset that he decided to come to Vietnam. He said it's very hot here. He always has to wear a towel rag, I guess, because he's always sweating. He needs to drink the right bottle of water because he can't drink the water source. Just a lot of things that, you know, Americans are not accustomed to.
One would think you would do some type of research before you just fly across the world. One would think.
But anyway, they got into an argument about that. Subsequently, they had plans to go to her mother's house that evening. They went to the mother's house that evening. They had dinner. Riley was saying that Violet is rude in front of her whole family the first time that they're meeting. Dinner went very downhill from there. They didn't talk for a couple of days. Afterwards, they decided to message each other again, and they had a very nice dinner. They forgave themselves. Riley put some friend of his on video chat and asked Violet this question: who was the guy in the naked picture, and why did she ask Riley to get off the dating site while she was still on the dating site? Now, in Vietnam culture, family is a big thing, and Riley had some friend that he called his sister, or not really his blood sister, ask her stuff, so Violet was very upset. Apparently, this is a big thing because he spoke to another friend in Vietnam about it. So the sister was asking Violet why she was still on this dating app, but she's asking Riley not to be on the Vietnamese dating app, and she's still talking to guys with their shirt off. Again, I don't know if they established a relationship, if they said we together, we locked in, or they're just casually dating. But anyway, they keep going back and forth with axes and chainsaws, flamethrowers, back and forth. I really don't know the status of their relationship, but they blocked each other for a couple of days again, and then they started talking again. And at that point, he brought up something about not trusting her because she's still talking to other guys. Oh, again, I'm going to go back to them establishing if they were together. I don't know if they were actually together or they were dating. I don't know if they were being
intimate. Well, in his head, it seems like they were together.
Well, he was in love. He was definitely in love. I think he loved her from a distance, and he really wanted it to work. I have not caught up on the episodes, but from that moment, I'm like, Riley's giving passport, bro. Because even before his interview, he was saying he had difficulties connecting with women in the past. He's 48, almost 50, hasn't had a meaningful relationship yet. And he met Violet, and he still hasn't been able to, I guess, get into that emotional space with her to have a relationship.
Yeah. I mean, I sit here and I think about everything I've said earlier. I could recognize that there might be some very genuine men who might really want to find love in a different place. Quote Rihanna, and for those people who generally feel that and they pursue these relationships, I feel like, okay, there's some validity there. But at the same time, all right, let's take the 90 Day Fiancé for example. This guy was talking to this girl for 2 years. Obviously, talking online is very easy. You know, some things are lost in translation, or for the most part, it's kind of very transactional. Hey, how you doing? How's your day? Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. Everything's rosy. Honeymoon, internet phase. And then you physically go there and it's like, whoa, this is a completely different person, completely different story. There's some nuances culturally that are not met or caught on to. So, you know, I mean, but see, once again, the expectation is from a different part of the world perspective, Western versus Eastern. Riley is going into this relationship with a Western mentality of like, mm-hmm. I'm looking for a girl who is going to be submissive and all these other tropes that men throw gender and labels on. And then when she is not delivering that way, now he's shocked. Like, whoa, this is not what I signed up for. I didn't fly halfway across the world for this shit. Like, if I wanted this, I would have stayed where I was at. Like,
and I'm she's expecting... super blunt.
Yeah, she was super blunt about it. Because, once again, these girls are not dumb. And these men are treating them like they're dumb and docile and submissive. And that's not the case at all. And that's where they get fucked up. And this is why I don't respect password bros. Because they feel as if they are entitled to the companionship of these women who are only after one thing and they have no other standards otherwise. That's exactly. That's why I don't respect or acknowledge these passport guys. And at the end of the day, it's very fascinating about the concept of geography as it relates to these relationships, where it's like, all right, us here on the Western side of things, we see dating and we see these relationships as one thing, and then you go to, and it's not to say it's different. We are assuming from our Western mentality that, oh, dating overseas or dating someone from another culture is going to be completely different because their standards are different, and it's not it at all. It just translates differently at the end of the day. Riley had respect for herself. Riley knew exactly what she wanted, or Riley understood, not Riley, sorry, Violet knew exactly what she wanted and all these things, and she was not looking for a deep relationship with this Riley guy. She was not. The fact that he was flying all the way out there for her, she probably thought, oh, that's cute, but I'm still single as far as I'm concerned. So you are just my very well-off American man friend for the most part. And that's cool with me. But as far as I'm on this Vietnam soil, I'm doing me. And that is really the expectation there. So I just feel like, we have to get over this Western Eastern mentality of what a person is supposed to be. And the whole mentality of passport bros are just flawed because of the way that they view women of their own culture and how they expect women from a different culture to be the complete opposite, and they are sadly mistaken every single time, regardless of how the optics look.
Exactly. Women are women wherever you go. You don't think in the Caribbean that women have the same standards and the same type of moral backing when a guy comes in? Of course, I'm a girl. If I see a tall, chocolate, handsome looking man come in and, he shows me what he's got, I'll be intrigued. But that doesn't mean I want to go with you 100%. And a lot of guys use that as some type of fishing line to draw women in. But again, you need to have some sort of substance, some emotional maturity, some sort of, you know, stability in your life. You can't just go and say, hey, I got money and I can take you to America. The other side of the story, you bring them to America, bringing them to a one-bedroom apartment in some borough in New York, and they're like, this is not what I saw on TV that I wanted or that you showed me. You know, you didn't show me the world like I'm Princess Jasmine and you got me here like Princess, you know, Princess of the Hood. I don't know. Like, you know, it doesn't translate to what you're giving. And I think that's also something that people don't explore. You get the girl, you go over there, then you bring her back to your home, ratchet looking, not clean apartment, expect her to clean your apartment, expect her to wash your clothes. Are you really looking for a girlfriend or relationship or just a maid to pick up things for you that you can frequently have sex with?
Pretty much. They're looking for a... They're just looking for...
You can do a mail order bride. I knew that was popular when I was younger. I didn't really know about it.
Are they still around? Is that still a
thing? I don't know. I'm just saying. You could have that. Whatever it is. That was something I knew that the Russians had a chokehold on. Slovaks. That was a big chokehold. You put in an order for a mail order bride and she comes straight to your door to do whatever you want. I don't know if that's the thing, but that's exactly what these men want.
Yeah, they're seeking the quote-unquote traditional wife that, once again, is submissive and all these things. So that's why mail order brides back then were fine, because it's like, okay, it's a one-stop shop for the girl of my dreams or the girl that's right for me. And it does not. It dehumanizes these people, right? Regardless of the passport thing or mail bride thing, it dehumanizes the person into them being more of a commodity and less of an actual person that has their own wants and needs and thoughts and all these things. So it's just sad. But my question to you, Rove, is would you become a passport mommy or passport sis for the right guy in another timeline or another time zone, I should say?
Maybe. I'm not going to say no, but not in the sense of the ideology that passport bros have. I wouldn't go saying I need to find a man in Thailand. Yeah.
Because I want that Bangkok A.
Oh, that. Or I would even say I would go to like England or something. I was like, I need to have a British accent in my ear at night or something like that. You know, some people fetishize that shit. They do.
Okay, yeah. That's the thing.
But I wouldn't do that. But if I go on a vacation, let's say to Madagascar, let's just throw that out there, and then I find someone there, and if we actually have a connection or a bond, I'm gonna say, hey, why not, you know, we'll have that discussion. Either I stay in Madagascar or I go back to the US and see what the pros and cons is. I'm more a analytical person in that standpoint. I wouldn't go just based on my heart and my love, but you know, I just think that passport sis is not a thing, though, because I like to be pursued. I wouldn't go on the prowl. But if I meet a guy there, then, you know, I would help him. I would help him. Just like majority of growing up, I know a lot of people who, quote unquote, marry people just for papers, just to help bring people to the United States. So.
Yeah. I mean, context wise, you know, that's somewhat different because there's an understanding of what it is. But yeah, to your point, you know, it really just depends on the intention of it all. At the end of the day, it's all about intentions, right? Regardless of who's involved. So I think, at the end of the day, passport bros, you know, their mentality is all in the wrong place. And I just feel as if they, yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
I got a question for you, though.
Mm-hmm.
These passport bros, you know, they go to all different countries. Like we're talking about Brazil, Colombia, Thailand, Philippines, Dominican Republic, Eastern Europe, wherever. How come there's no passport pearls in Jamaica, Barbados, Grenada, St. Vincent, Dominica? You don't hear Trinidad. You don't hear.
Because they ask no better. That's why.
Oh.
They ask no better than playing that shit in Trinidad. You're nuts.
But it's still under the same umbrella of going somewhere, right? And finding love in a different country that's not your home. So why not go to a Caribbean country and get one of these girls? St. Lucia, St. Vincent. Why not? Why don't the passport pearls go there?
Because, first of all, it's still too close to the Western world. And on top of that, they know they cannot play that shit in the islands. They cannot play that shit one bit. They see Rihanna. They know what time it is. Give me a break. ain't nobody from those islands, Jamaica, Trinidad, Grenada, all of them, they absolutely know that those people's standards are way higher. Then once again, the stereotypical submissive women that they may find in other parts of the world, they ain't playing that shit in the islands, and island women are not gonna play that shit either. So,
good
job, you wasted your flyer miles for no reason. So,
Lord have mercy.
Oh well, but yeah. Anyway, let's resume, and let's wrap up our show. Once again, as we all know, court is in session, and you know, when court is in session, that means the queen is here. So let's move on with Queen of the Block.
Yes, this week, folks, on the Queen of the Block list, we have a former racist to an avid HBCU supporter, G.W. Sedberry. Now, Mr. Sedberry was a past racist. He is now a supporter of HBCUs. He travels to different HBCUs, and I'm sure that his story is very inspiring. However, my beef is with everyone who is supporting people who are invited to the cookout. We cannot always keep letting our arms doors open. This guy is definitely all is probably forgiven, maybe not on my behalf, but there are folks within the black community who has forgiven him and his prior transgressions, and he has turned around and has been an advocate for HBCUs and being a supporter to allow different types of colleges be on his Instagram, and he's telling his story. However, when they ever interview him, and I've done my research on Instagram, usually most of the comments are turned off, and it's giving this story of only positivity. So I took it upon myself to try to find stories. I looked at his Instagram. It's the only thing that's coming up is inspirational. And I know we are in a season of positivity and forgiveness, but I need to know what the real deal is. And I'm blocking him until I know what happened in the past and what made him change his mind. Because everybody's just so willing to accept him only because now he's the face of us being an ally for HBCUs. We have tons of allies who weren't former racists in the past. We have tons of allies who weren't being celebrated. So what has changed this guy's mentality now for him to be invited to the cookout and not be subjected to having comments thrown at him? Because I'm sure if the comments were open under the Instagrams, there would be a lot people have to say. And I've also noticed that anytime one of the historically black Instagram colleges post something about him, again, the comments are closed, but they'll go to other posts because we are people and say, Why is your post in the previous post closed? Why don't you open that back up? I got something to say. Why I keep closing it after y'all post this? And I need the answers to those questions as well, too. Why is it the fact that every time you post something like that, it is always closed? Is it not up for open discussion? Maybe people don't want a former racist being the face of going to HBCUs. Maybe he has a story to tell, but he doesn't have to tag along and jump on the bandwagon of black people, because the reason why historically black colleges and university was made because we weren't invited into those spaces. We weren't invited to those spaces. We had to create those spaces for ourselves so we can just even marginalize the same type of education level with our counterparts. So I'm blocking them for now until I get some answers.
I agree.
How do you feel about that?
No, I agree. You should block Richard Dolezal until further notice. I feel like former racist already is a wild statement. Like, former racist? I don't think that's not how racism works. You can't just go from racist to, no longer.
Avid HBCU supporter. Avid. With the comments off.
Very strange. Very weird. Very weird.
It's,
I don't know.
It's given Get Out Part 2.
But in this case, so, I tell him to come in. No thanks.
He's not coming to my barbecue. Sorry.
He's not coming to my Howard, and I didn't even go to Howard. So
probably already went there.
Yeah, he's probably doing his not racist tour.
His press tour. Like, we don't need to be the backbone for him to do that. Like, if he wants to tell his story, let him tell his story. He doesn't have to use the backs of HBCUs to do that.
Word. That's absolutely not the wave. But hey. That's people's yum, but not mine. So what you gonna do? Outside of that madness, let's always end things off with a positive note. So Rovi, as you always do, let's end off with the Rovism.
Okay, this Rovism is directly for the ladies. Sorry, Passport Bros.
Ladies,
don't let passports, countries, situationships, or even boyfriends get in the way of true love. You are single to marriage, and even that's pushing it. Live your life happily. Men's is going to men until they die. Period.
Mm-hmm. Tiber and knackle. No,
that's why
right.
You's a man. You still going to men till you die too. You ain't out of it.
I mean. I will men until I'm die on the fact that I am a man's, but in the regards of what you said, yeah, absolutely right. Ladies, don't let these men, you know, try to stamp you.
Don't give you the head beat at all. Nope. Pun intended.
Thank you, Rove, for those words. We definitely appreciate the positivity to start off our weeks. So, with that being said, y'all, thank y'all for listening. You know where to catch us. Catch us on our podcast platforms, Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. Make sure to email us at sophigpodcast@gmail.com or DM us at SIPodcast on IG with any questions, concerns, shout outs, all those things. We want to shout you out on the show as well. So please, if you shout us out, we will shout you out as well. Also, we have some other things in store in the sense of keeping in touch with us and staying connected. So we'll let you know. And outside of that, yeah, we are here. So make sure to visit our website as well at sophigpodcast.com. Check it out. We have the latest episode and other things for you to reach out to us. And yeah, we're here. We are out here, son. And unlike our passports, we're not going anywhere. So
until it's expired.
Well, and then you have to, yeah. Well, until.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. That's a different story.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, speaking of, I should probably check mine. Because when was it expire again?
No, Lordy.
Probably got to check that out. You should check it out too, son. Don't be my friend.
I already renewed mine. I was in the Bahamas this year already.
Oh,
so.
You are ready to be a passport, sis. Oh, baby.
You knew I was in and out flying different area codes.
You got a bone in a different time zone, baby.
All right. So, till next time, folks. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you on the flip side.
All right. Later, y'all.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Rovi.
Bye, Rovi.